Joshua, and then we're going to go to the New Testament after that. We're talking about sincerity. Last week, we talked about sincerity in the Word of God. And I think that's important. And we just approach the Bible and just sincerely want to find out what it says. And you find that. I find sometimes people have just been taught wrong, and you teach them what the Bible says, and they change, and they're sincere. And that's generally humans, generally, they believe what they're taught, and they don't question it very much. Rebels do. Also people who are very, very spiritual do. Rebels do, because it doesn't matter. I've always said if an atheist has a rebellious child, they'll become a flaming evangelist, and vice versa. It doesn't matter if they're rebellious, whatever they're taught, they'll fight against. If you tell them brush your teeth, they're not going to do it. And so, there is people who are just, they're brought up, you know, there's sincere Muslims, and they're just taught that, and that's they're taught the whole life. But if they search the truth, I believe that God will reveal light to them. And we're not teaching that tonight, but Cornelius is a good example, the book of Acts and Romans 1 and other things. A lot of people need to be taught the truth. But there are a lot of people who aren't sincere. They want to be right, and they want what they believe to be right, and they're going to stick with what they believe in. A lot of churches are unchangeable. The whole system keeps them from being able to change. So there are things that I do, and it's not in a lesson tonight, but there's things I do in losing my will with doctrine, and there's things that are important. And I always err on the other side of the flesh when I don't know. In other words, I know my flesh wants to draw me to certain things. I know that flesh wants to draw to no holiness, to no commitment. So I know that my flesh is always going to be trying to pull me to believe certain things and enter my traditions and things like that. That's what the flesh does. And so I always err on the side of spirituality instead of flesh. And do that and there's things like that. Do you want to be sincere in your approach to the Bible? Just do what it says. Joshua 24, we're going to talk tonight about serving the Lord in sincerity. Last week was approaching the Bible in sincerity, but this week serving the Lord in sincerity. In this chapter here, the context is God is talking to Israel and saying, okay, you're settled into the land now. This is what I've done for you, and I want you to serve me and reapply and rededicate yourself to the covenant of the law. And so Joshua is speaking for God here. In the whole chapter is that, but we'll join in verse 11 as God reviews what he's done. And he went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I also delivered them to your hand. And I set the hornet before you and drave them out before you, even the two kings, the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land to which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and of the vineyards and of the oliveyards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him with insincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word of God, and I pray tonight that we would be helped and encouraged and strengthened and spoken to and convicted. And Lord, so many things that we need, Lord. There's so many things that we need in a service, Father. So many things, so many different needs, Father. I know some people are tired, and I know some people are tired physically, some are tired spiritually. You need refreshing. We need power, Father. We need the Holy Spirit to just dwell among us. Because you said in Acts 2, in Acts 3, that the refreshing comes in the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And we pray to refresh us with the power of the Holy Spirit and help us understand your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, though my voice isn't strong, I pray that the power would flow through me, Father. Because, Lord, you've chosen me to preach your word tonight. And I pray that I'd say what you once said, and you'd empower it in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord asked them to serve him in sincerity, and in truth. And he says in verse 14, "Now therefore fear ye, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Now, the next thing he says is, "Put away your gods." Now, God could have just said, "Serve me," but he said, "Serve me in sincerity and in truth." Why do you think with this group of people, he included sincerity and in truth with them? Anybody? Why would this group of people, why would God say to Israel at this time, you guys need to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth? You have something, Matthew, you're kind of going like that. Anybody? Jess? Okay. Dave?
Well, they're going to be the example. They're his chosen people. And if they're not serving in sincerity and truth, who's going to?
Yeah. Okay. This group of people will serve the Lord until it cost anything or until it demanded faith, and then they wouldn't serve the Lord. And he knew they were coming in where they had to right then. See, lip service is easy to do, but right then they had to immediately destroy the idols and destroy all the enemies, and they're redoing the covenant. So he wanted them, as the Bible says, these people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So he wanted them to be real. And in sincerity and in truth. And Joshua said, hey, choose, though. Make a choice. Because sincerity makes a choice. You're sincerely serving the Lord. And so the Lord told him to do it after reminding them all he'd done for them, saying, now, you guys did this when you said you were going to do this. And so serve me in sincerity and in truth. Don't just talk about it and do that. I remember when I was a teenager, and I don't know, I came out of the world and wasn't I didn't get saved and start serving the Lord because I was needed to go through rehab or anything else. I was having some fun in the world. Now, I was empty and it was empty fun, but it was fun. Sin, the pleasure of sin, sin lasts, sin has its pleasure to it and its fun to it. And I wanted God. I don't know what to say. I wanted the Lord. And I got saved because I wanted to go to heaven, not hell. But then I really started serving the Lord because I really wanted God. I mean, I wanted him. And there was nobody to tell me to go to church. There was nobody to tell me that you got to do this. There was nobody to put pressure on me, not my family. And there was no rules that said I had to do it. And it was going counterintuitively against everything that I liked doing. And I had to change my whole life. And so I had to be real when I started serving the Lord. If I wasn't, I wouldn't have done that because it costs a lot and it was very difficult and it was going against everything I wanted to do. And so I did that, and so I started serving the Lord. I remember, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years in, our song leader, Mark Watkins, he came in and preached to a large group of some adults and teenagers. And he talked about the game of Christianity and how you can play a game and act like you're serving God and talk about this on Sunday and not do it on Monday and act like you're a Christian, but just go back to the world during the week and talk about this but do this and say you're going to serve the Lord and be a drug addict. And he talked about this, and I'm going, why would anybody do that? That's a stupid thing to do. If you're not going to serve the Lord, go in the world and have fun. So I thought, what a strange message this was. Little did I know. That's a lot of people do. And he had an invitation. I'm going, that was like, why would you be a fake? Why would you be a fake and go to church? Why would you be a hypocrite? But man, he had an invitation. Huge altar call. I thought, you got to be kidding me. You guys are that dumb. You're going to fake. Like it's like, you know what? I'm going to fake like I'm going to fake like I'm on fire. I mean, why would you do that? There's no benefit in it. I mean, I understand. Why would you do that? I'm going to fake like I like jumping in ice cold water. I'm going to jump in the ice cold water and fake it like I like it. Why? I mean, I don't understand why you'd fake serving the Lord. And I don't understand. I understand it now more, unfortunately, from talking to people and watching people. I still think it's dumb, by the way. I still think it's dumb, but But people do it. It's in the Bible. People did it in the Bible. And I saw that and I thought, why would you want to be insincere? Why don't you want to be real and really serve the Lord? And God says serve him in sincerity and serve him in truth. And it's easy for people, and it's easy for humans, easy for me to go and do what we do and put on an outward appearance and not be real inside. I am amazed. I'm reading a book right now, and it's a fascinating book. It's a good devotional book about a certain subject. And this subject, it talks about just a terrible immorality going on in youth groups. And this guy's been a youth pastor forever, and writes with another youth pastor. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me that it's that bad. And the kids are really saying they're serving God and going to a youth group and talking spiritual and then going, I mean, totally into deep sin Monday through Saturday. And this book is really stunning how they do that. And God wants you to be sincere and real. And so I want to give you a few things what to serve the Lord in sincerity and be real. And don't put that on. Caveat before I say that. One of the things about insincerity and one of the things about hypocrisy is this. It's always amusing to me. Pharisees did this. When you're not sincere, or when you're putting on a fake thing, the person who does drugs and says they love Jesus all their heart, but they have a drug problem during the week, they say, you know, but I'm really sincere. I just can't believe those people who go and give in front of people to be seen of men, because they're a bunch of fakes. And the person who gives in front of people who does it to be seen of people, they say about the person who's a drug addict during the week, I can't believe those people who say they're Christians and are drug addicts during the week. And the person who's a drug addict during the week oftentimes says about the person who goes out and watches bad movies during the week, I can't believe those people talk like they're Christian on Sunday. Now, I know I have my issues with drugs, but you know what? At least I'm not sitting there watching bad movies all week long. It is a strange thing, because we always think that our sins aren't the ones that are really the bad ones, and we compare ourselves among ourselves, which the Bible says is not wise. And so then we say, but at least I don't, and I'm not a hypocrite because I'm real about what I do, and I admit what I do to my pastor in private and nobody else. If they do that. And I want to say, if you're living one life and espousing you believe in another, that's wrong. No matter how bad you think, it's not that bad a thing. If you're hanging around with the wrong crowd during the week and cussing and joking about bad things, you're just as bad as a person who's getting drunk during the week. And yeah, that's right, because you're the one who gets drunk and you want to get me to get them. I'm getting you too. We have non-discriminatory getting in this church. And so we get all of us. And so if you are saying one thing and doing another, it's called hypocrisy. Whether it's your sin or somebody else's. And why do we always think somebody else is a hypocrite? But we're not. I don't understand that. So that was free, but it comes along with a message here. So number one, where we're supposed to be sincere. And number one, we're supposed to be sincere in having a church that serves the Lord in sincerity. Let me take you to, the rest of the time will be the New Testament, but let me go to 1 Corinthians. It's just things God says you can be insincere in. And the Bible says a church is supposed to serve the Lord in sincerity. The church is not supposed to be full of hypocrites. And to that I say amen. I don't do well with hypocrites, to be honest with you. I just don't do well with them. I can deal with somebody who has sin problems and admits it and wants to deal with it. Hypocrites, I do not deal with, and they do not like me. And I'm not sure exactly why, but honestly, I can see a hypocrite a mile away. I mean, a complete hypocrite. I just they stand out like they have antennas and green skin to me, and they do not like me. And they you can see it. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is about me that irritates them. Something about me irritates hypocrites. They never stay. We have never had a hypocrite problem in our church. They don't like me. I don't particularly like them. I want them to get right. I want them to be right. We just haven't had a big problem with that. And I'm glad, because it helps the church. And we our 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 we have a lot more people who have real issues and want to get them fixed and come to church and have struggles. We don't have as much of that right now. We've gotten a lot of, the Lord's turned a lot of lives around. We don't have a ton of that right now, but that's normally what we have is people who just, I need help. And that's not hypocrisy. But we're supposed to be in a church that's not a hypocritical church. 1 Corinthians 5, it says, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, such fornication is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, stepmom. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he which hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. That's the Bible says is supposed to happen. Okay? Taken away from among you. For I verily am absent in the body and present in spirit, having judged already, though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good, and know ye not the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast of old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So the church is supposed to be a church of sincerity and truth. If I wasn't the pastor of Open Door, and from what I understand, and you know, I don't go to a ton of churches. I have, but I don't. People have told me, and what people have told me about is churches are full of fakes and insincere people. And I don't know that. I'd have to attend a church for a while and know the people, and I've not done that. I've seen hypocrites in churches I've been at, certainly, and less here, but. I guess once in a while we have some, but very rarely. I've seen it, though. I've seen hypocrites, and I've seen insincere people. I've seen people playing church, and I've seen people who aren't real. And I think you can have that. I think if I came in a church, and the church had 200 people, and I was the pastor, and it was full of hypocrites and stuff, I think it would go down to about 50. I just think it would have to. I couldn't bring new converts into fakes. And I couldn't do that. And if I ran them all off, I'd run them off. To me, a church should be the one place where people are real. There is so much fakeness out there. There's so much insincerity and so many acts and people putting on acts and saying what you want to hear. And I tell you, that is not supposed to be God's house. We should be here because we love the Lord, and that's the real reason we're here. We should be here because we want to help each other, and we should be not, a church should not be full of insincerity. People just saying things the same, and people who don't believe what they're saying, and can you imagine that? Have you ever heard a preacher preach and not believe what he's saying? That's an awful thing to watch to me. It's like, preach on something else. I mean, Bill Howells one time said, you know, we have so many soul winners out there bringing people to church to be saved. He said, I could preach and Mary had a little lamb and somebody walked the aisle to be saved. And he thought, you know, Mary did have a little lamb. That'd be a good sermon. And, you know, the birth of Christ, Mary had a little lamb and Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. So he preached on that. But when you want to, you can't preach at Christmas. I should have preached it instead. I thought of it. And I'd have been faking, though. Churches, I just think that's so sad to see a church full of people giving lip service and being fakes and hypocrites and living like the world and acting like something or not. I just think it's a sad thing. A plastic church. A bunch of mannequins trying to look like something and they're not. Again, it's so refreshing if you're just the sinful woman who weeps at Jesus' feet. You're real. Be real. I don't mean you have to be obnoxious and flaunt your sin at church. I don't think you should at all. I just think you ought to be sincere and real and want to serve God and not just trying to impress people. The fornicator was supposed to be removed from this church because he's saying he's a Christian and fornicating with his stepmom. And openly bragging about it and the whole church and everybody knew about it. And he says, wait a minute, you're supposed to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Get that guy out of there. Get that guy out of here. And when the crowd's the end game, you don't want to remove anybody. It's another person. It's another giving unit. But you know what? We're serving the Lord. Let's get this thing purified. Let's be real. And the church is not supposed to be like that. Number one, you have a church that serves the Lord in sincerity. Starts at the top. The pastor should be sincere. The parents should be sincere. The leaders should be sincere. And by the way, hypocrites beget hypocrites. And fakes produce fakes. Your kids know what you really are. And your kids, if you're a fake, will grow up to be fakes. And it'll drive you crazy. And so you want to be real. Number two, want to love the Lord in sincerity. Want to love the Lord in sincerity. Ephesians and chapter 6, love the Lord in sincerity. Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That's what it says there. All those that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. I wonder what the difference between a love and a love in sincerity is. I think it's very clear. I've seen the and not all these people are like that, but the hyper-emotional Christian television, hyper-emotional, oh, I just love Jesus so much, type Christianity sometimes. Some of those people are real. But you kind of see that it overly gaudy and this stuff like that. But it's, well, how about Jim and Tammy? For those of you, oh boy, remember a while back ago. Gaudy, over-the-top, spiritual, praise the Lord. And meanwhile, all kinds of crime and immoral things going on in their life and terrible things. Listen, you see that and you say that is not sincere love for God. Because a lot of people say they love God. And here's what I think the dividing line is. A lot of people say they love God. A lot of people put on this emotional thing until, see, who is he that loveth me? He that keepeth my commandments, Jesus said. Until you have to show you love God. Until it costs something. Even more than that, I want to say, if you love God in sincerity, you'll love him when he isn't blessing and when things aren't going well. There's a whole bunch of love when it feels good. Because you almost loving God and the emotion of in a service or in a church of love toward God is a make you feel good type thing. Because you feel spiritual. But all of a sudden it costs something and you realize, now it's costing you something, and now you have to prove it. Now God's not blessing. Now you don't feel. Well, real love goes beyond feeling. A real loving spouse will be good to their spouse when they don't feel like it. And when God is not blessing and when bad things are happening to you, those who love God in sincerity don't miss a beat in their spiritual life. They don't miss anything because they're sincere in their love toward God. It's not an act. I mean, we laugh and we say it's stupid when some guy walks up and goes up to the pretty girl and says, I love you, baby. And you say, yeah, sure you do. That's not real sincere. But then a lot of Christians do the same kind of thing to our God. I love you, God. Give me something. It's not a sincere love. A sincere love loves God if they die tomorrow. If bad things happen, if life isn't good, they love God in sincerity. So the Bible says, grace be with all them that love our Lord in sincerity. So we should love the Lord in sincerity. Next, we should give in sincerity and in truth. And let's go to Matthew 6. We should give in sincerity. And sincerity means a clarity, a purity, no ulterior motives, not faking. And you really want to do it for the right reasons. Matthew 6, we see people giving insincerely. It says, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So how can you give insincerely? Anybody? How can you give in sincerely? Matthew?
You're doing it to glorify yourself, to be seen, to have praise upon you by the world people.
That's right. To be seen of men. Sound trumpets before you. Hey, guys, look what I'm giving today. And you do the Michael Jordan. You know, you're like, it's a five, not a one. And you do it to be seen of men. You want people to know that. And the Bible says, be so secret in your giving because you're doing the right reason. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So that's pretty secret. You know, you got to do it this way or you got to do it this way, depending on which hand you are. I can give both hands. I'm ambidextrous. But they can both see. I got to have two offering bags. But you don't... Now, I understand somebody might find out what you give, okay? Somebody counts offerings and stuff like that. I understand that. But you're not doing it for that reason. If you're doing it to be seen of men, you're doing it to impress me. You're not impressing me because I don't have any idea who gives what. But you don't do it to be seen. You do it in sincerity. I love you, Lord. This is for you. Or, you know what? I love those people who need to get saved on the mission field. And that's a great, noble reason. I want us to be able to go drive the vans to go pick people up and buy gas and buy insurance and buy a new window for $400. I want to give to that. I care about that. That's a good cause. You do it in sincerity. You do not give to be seen by people, to impress people. We are, too many people are way too worried about impressing people. So worried. We are just so self-conscious and we're so worried about everybody thinking highly of us and everybody looking up to us. And it's natural. All of us can do that. All of us want people to look up and think highly of us. It's normal. But if people think that because you just walk in integrity and you love God and you're doing it for the right reasons and they happen to think of that of you because you are that, not because you tried to show them yourself. It's fine, because that wasn't your intention. It says to be seen of men, sounding the trumpet before you. But we try, when we do it because we try to impress people. Listen, do what you do if no one ever knows you did it. Do what you do for him. Do what you do because you love him. You're going to find out in the spiritual realm, truly spiritual people will always be underappreciated. Nobody will know all you do. And generally, because of the way our society is trained, generally the only time people will note anything you do is when you do it wrong. That's just a fact. That's not a Christian fact. That's a secular fact. Your boss oftentimes will not praise you when you do things right. He will only tell you when you do things wrong. That's the way we're trained. And that's the way we kind of think. And so you've got to do things because you love God. I learned when God was teaching me to work hard when I was not a hard worker, I learned, the Bible says, to serve your masters in all things, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. And so I had to learn to work hard when my boss would never know I worked hard. Because of God, because I was serving, because God was my real boss, and he was watching. And I had to learn to do that. I remember hearing about one of the great painters. He was painting, and he's painting a building, and he painted the he had one half done of, and there was a frontage on the top of this building went across here, and he wasn't only done the frontage, and where the pillars went up the top, he was painting the decorations into the top of the pillar there, and he was going to end up painting over them with the frontage. And someone who was watching him paint said, why are you painting the top of those things? You're going to paint over them with the frontage anyway. No one will ever know you painted those right. And he said, God will. God will. And so you don't give, you do it in sincerity. Give in sincerity. And another verse on this, I'll read it real quick. It's 2 Corinthians 8:8. It's a long context, but I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. If you read that chapter, and it's a complicated chapter, but he says the other churches were given to me, and I wanted to see if you would really give to me because your giving would prove the sincerity of your love. Giving shows a lot, and it does those things, and so you have that. Next, another thing we're supposed to do in sincerity is pray. pray in sincerity. Now you'd think that, by the way, pray and fast, and we'll do both. Look at Matthew 6:5. And thou, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they should be heard for their much speaking. Be therefore not like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have needed before ye ask him. God says, pray in private and not to be seen of men. Again, the same reason. I want to show people I can pray good, and I can even pray in King James. Lord, I pray that thou wilt. I don't know if God actually helps in your prayer if you pray in King James, but you're impressing the people how much you pray, and you're doing it to tell people, I prayed for an hour. Now, you know, I don't mind. If all of a sudden you've been struggling to pray, and you just, one day you call and say, Pastor, guess what? I prayed for the first time in my life for an hour. I want to praise God. I've been trying to do that for years. I don't think you did it to tell me, if that was your reason. There's nothing wrong with praising God for that. It's fine. A lot of people share. They've read their Bible through and praise God. Now, if you just do read your Bible through to be seen of men, then it's a bad motivation. You should do it because you want your name on the plaque back there. If you do it to be seen of men and then take your name, you didn't do it for that reason. You did it because you want to learn the Bible and because you love the Lord. But you want to, so there's nothing wrong with that. It's why do you do it? Do you do it in sincerity? I love the Bible and want to read it. I want to spend time with God. I need to pray. Do you do it to be seen of men? Do you do it to impress people? If the only time you pray is on Sunday in front of people and you don't pray Monday through Saturday, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You pray whether nobody's watching. A lot of our prayers, if we're really praying, a lot of our prayers, nobody even knows we're praying. We're sitting there praying, or we're driving praying, or we're sitting in the lunchroom praying, or we're in our job praying. Nobody knows we're praying. Remember one of the ladies at college, she told us, my prayer life, she says, for some reason, when I iron, I just pray like crazy. And so her prayer time was, and she just re-ironed clothes over and over. She had her husband at home at the time. And she just ironed clothes and prayed and prayed and prayed. And if anybody watched, she looked like she's ironing, but she was praying the whole time. And doing that over and over and over. But a bunch of women say, wish my husband would pray while I did yard work. But you pray, and nobody knows it because you're doing it for God. You're doing it for the Lord. You can pray in sincerity, not in sincerity. You can also fast not in sincerity. Look at verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have a reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Don't let anybody know. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you fast, don't go around and say, oh, I'm so hungry. Haven't eaten for 2 days. And by the way, a lot of times we fast, we feel miserable. Get a headache. I mean, they're starving. But you know what? Somebody says, how you doing? I'm doing great. God, Bible says, wash your face. Look like you're not fasting. Try not to let them know. Now, sometimes you have to. Sometimes I have to tell my wife I'm fasting, so don't cook dinner for me or whatever. I do that. I usually fast from when I fall asleep till I wake up. But when you fast, you some of you don't even do that. When you fast, look like you're not fasting. Do not do it to please men. You're doing it in sincerity. You want God to see you're serious about this thing, so you just keep it quiet. Now, if somebody asks you, you don't lie. Can I take you to lunch? No, not today. Why not? Not today's not a good day for it. Are you fasting? Yes. I just lost my reward. And no, they don't need your reward because I don't tell them for that reason. But you do it for the Lord to see it. Again, look at these spiritual things you can do not in sincerity, insincerely. You can pray. You can fast. You can... do all kinds of things not in sincerity. And so God wants us to do all these things with the right way, with the sincerity in our heart for the right reasons, because we love the Lord, we want to glorify God, we love people, and all the good reasons that there are. Next, give the gospel in sincerity. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Paul's in jail and on trial. And basically a bunch of people start preaching the gospel in order to stir everybody up against Paul. And they are a bunch of his enemies trying to get everybody to hate him. He thinks the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And we're all sinners. And they're all trying to get Paul in trouble preaching the gospel. Obviously not in sincerity. You can do that. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 12, but I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things that have happened to me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, more people getting saved. So that in my bonds, Christ is manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Do you see where the people are preaching the gospel not sincerely? They're doing it to get Paul in more trouble. Now, when I say this, here's the interesting thing about this. They are mocking, they are trying to get him in more trouble, but they are giving the gospel out inadvertently. And you know what Paul says? That's awesome. Go for it. He says, verse 17, other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And therein I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Over the years, heard so many people criticize people who aren't great soul winners, maybe they're not as thorough as they want, as they like, or they're not doing it just right. Listen, they're going out and giving the gospel. They're saying Jesus died for your sins and rose again. That's a good thing. They might not do it just right. I know that. They might leave something out or not do something just right. But you know what? I'd rather somebody give the gospel out wrong than not give anything out. He says these people are mockingly doing it for the wrong reason. I'm sure they weren't doing a good job. But he says, I'm glad the gospel is being preached. Now, I've seen people who are well-trained soul winners who did it to impress people. Guess how many people I led to the Lord today or this week? And to be impressive in numbers and to impress people in numbers. I remember when I got to Bible college, I got to Chicago and they told me there's these projects and there's an unlimited amount of poor people who will just surround you and you can talk to them all. I thought, that's crazy. Let me go there. So I went to projects right from the very start when I got to college. Went to a huge housing project. Went to the worst projects in America. Didn't even know it. Big, huge housing projects. Cabrini Greens. I go to Cabrini Greens sometimes. One of these houses, and I mean, you'd go up and knock on a door, and there'd be so many people inside a house, and they'd all be sitting there, and they'd invite you in. They'd be surprised you're there, and they'd invite you in, and they'd just be sitting on the couches and all over, and I'd have eight people there, and they'd just start preaching. I remember I was leading 10, 15, 20 people to the Lord a day when I'd go there on Saturdays, and well, every Monday in personal evangelism, he would ask how many people he had saved. He wanted to keep track of how many people got saved every week. Well, he says, hold up your fingers. Well, I couldn't hold up my fingers. So I had to ask, what if it's more than 10? And he said, well, write it down on a piece of paper and hold it up every week. So for like a month and a half, I was holding up. The most I had was 28 in one day. And just holding them up. And now, I wasn't doing that to be seen of men. Teacher wanted to know how many got saved. But I knew people and I met people. They wanted everybody to impress how good a soul winner they were. Even witnessing. Now, hey, you know what? So God might use them and somebody might get saved. Yeah, look at Balaam. And Israel got blessed by him. Okay. God can use all kinds of things and God has used all kinds of things. And God's amazing. But I want to say, you can even witness for the wrong reasons. You know, people sometimes use the Bible because they want to get somebody. Not because they really want to transfer the truth to them. Sermons have been preached to get a person. Why do you think that's I've done that to you? You can actually preach the Bible insincerely. You know, some preachers preach to impress the listeners. I don't think I'm doing that. Well, I was laughing. We had a guy who was with this big organization that they all give speeches to each other, and businessmen, they all give speeches all the time to each other and critique each other. And he came to our service, and he was an out-of-town visitor. And afterwards, the person he knew in church, he told him, you know, he does this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And I said, I could have told the guy that. I do 1,000 things wrong when I'm preaching. I don't even think about myself when I'm preaching. I'm not conscious of myself. I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I probably do 100 things wrong. I'm more focused on trying to get my truth across. And if you oratorically took my message apart, you'd find out I'm not trying to impress you with my preaching. I'm not going to do it. I'm not an impressive orator. But you can do a lot of things, even win souls. Last of all, you can live the Christian life, and you can live the Christian life. We're supposed to live that in sincerity. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, just live the whole Christian life in sincerity. So the point is, let's be sincere. Let's be real. Let's do things for the right reason. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's not be doing things for the wrong motivation. Let's do what we do, not so people will say, wow, aren't you incredible? But so they'll say, wow, isn't God incredible? I always love what Spurgeon said. He said, I want God to make me the type of preacher that I'm done preaching. They won't say he is an incredible preacher, but they will say he has an incredible God. And I think that's a good thing. We ought to be real and sincere and honest and pure. And if we're struggling, then the Bible says confess your faults one to another and just tell somebody and be real and have them pray for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace of God, we have had our conversation, that word means lifestyle, in the world, and more abundantly to your word. He says, our lives have been in sincerity and in simplicity. That's what we're supposed to do. The whole lifestyle of a real. Be sincere. Be honest. Be pure. Don't do things to impress people. The same people who will be impressed with you 1 month will criticize you the next month. Just be real for God. Do what you fall in love with Jesus. Do what you do for his glory, and because you love him and because you love people and you want to have God's power and blessing upon your life. You want to see lives change. Be real. Be sincere. If nobody ever praises you, if you're sincere, it does not matter. It's just a bonus. It's just a bonus. You do what you do because you're sincere. Serve the Lord in sincerity in all of our areas. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that, Lord, that you tell us all these areas. And it's an amazing thing that we can do spiritual things insincerely. And Lord, I'm sure I've been guilty of that also, Father. And Lord, help us to be real. Help us to be sincere. Help us to not be hypocrites. Help us to not to do things to be seen of men. Lord, I pray we do all the right things for all the right reasons. I pray to be pure and honest and real. Lord, we have struggles. We're imperfect. We all have our failures. Lord, I pray we just be real. I pray we'd go before you and talk to you in honesty because we're sincere and we really are struggling with this. We have this thought. Because, Lord, you like purity and clarity and honesty and sincerity. Lord, help us in all of our lifestyle and all of our conversation to serve the Lord in sincerity and simplicity. I pray this in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just briefly, sincerity, realness, purity, honesty. Not for mankind, not to be seen of men. Now, it's nice if somebody says, good job, I noticed you did this, or that was great. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you didn't do it for that reason. That's just an encouraging word. But it's not a vital, you had to have it or you weren't going to do it word. Because you're doing what you do for the Lord who died for you and your Heavenly Father. Who'd say today, you know what, God spoke to me about sincerity in some area. Maybe praying, maybe witnessing, maybe ministry, maybe something else. But you say, you know what, I need to be sincere. I need to be real. I need to be honest. God spoke to me about sincerity tonight. and I need to fix something. And God, I'm going to be sincere about something, or I'm going to be completely sincere. I'm going to be real tonight. God spoke to me about sincerity in my life. You want me to pray for you? You slip your hand up, I'll pray for you. We're not going to have an invitation, but I'm gonna unless you want to pray, you can kneel down where you are. Some people already turned around and started praying. God bless you. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Anybody didn't raise your hand? Want to pray for you? All right. Good. I see those hands. Anybody else? Didn't raise your hand. Pray for you in sincerity. God bless you. I see that hand. I'll pray for you also. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for your sincerity and be real. You can put your hands down. Now, I'm going to pray for you, but I want you right now. Maybe, and you know, you might need to say, Lord, be honest, I do what I do to be seen by people. And Lord, that's hard for me to stop. You're being sincere now. You're being honest. That's what you need to start doing. Tell God the truth. And then start falling in love with him and saying, I'm going to do this now, God, because of you. And just be honest with God. Tell him what you're struggling with. Father, you saw the hands and I saw the hands. And from little children to adults, Lord, we need to be sincere. We need to do what we do when nobody's watching, just the same as when everybody's watching, because we're sincere. Help us to do so. Help us to be real. Help us to do what we do in sincerity. Help us to be a sincere church. And I thank you, Lord. I believe you've given us that. I don't think it's anything we planned out. But Lord, you've given us a sincere church. And I give you praise for that, Lord. That's so good. It's so refreshing to be around real people. And even the people who have their struggles, Lord, they're real. And they want to serve you. They want victory. Help all of us to be purified. I pray for every person to raise their hand for strength to do things for the right reasons. And for victory in these areas, Lord. We give you praise that you taught us this. Thank you for your word that tells us about how to do it. Help us even in fasting and prayer be doing it in sincerity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.